Hi, this is Nicole Hemsoth, editor of HPC Wire, here with today's edition of Soundbite, our daily interview series featuring researchers, thought leaders, and newsmakers in the world of high-performance computing. Today we'll be talking with Dr. Jeff Hittinger, a computational scientist in the Center for Applied Scientific Computing at Lawrence Livermore. In addition to his research role there, he's the co-chair with Dr. Jack Dungara in the Exascale Mathematics Working Group. The group recently produced an in-depth report on applied mathematics research for exascale computing, which aims to identify mathematics and algorithms research opportunities on the horizon that will enable applications to take advantage of exascale class systems. Hi, Jeff. Thanks for taking time today.
Thanks for having me.
So if you could give us a quick description and maybe some history or background on the Exascale Mathematics Working Group before we discuss its aims in more detail.
Okay. So the Exascale Mathematics Working Group was established in January of 2013. It was formed by the Department of Energy, Office of Science, Advanced Scientific Computing Research Program to specifically address this question of what is the role of mathematics research in achieving exascale. And up until that point, there had been a number of reports, and there's been a lot of in-depth work that was done with respect to many of the other areas that OSCR is involved in. And so a lot of those reports address things like, you know, the operating system, runtime system, the hardware, the data analysis and data management. There was in 2010 a cross-cutting report that included a fairly extensive section on applied math, but this was an opportunity to kind of look more in depth specifically at math in isolation and to understand, try and figure out what really needs to be done if we're going to have an exascale class machine and be able to do the types of science computations on it that DOE is interested in. We formed in January, and we had a process over the last year where we met mostly by teleconference with a group of 10 people at the various Department of Energy National Labs. We had sort of two thrusts. One was to get input from a applied math community. And to do that, we solicited white papers from them. We got about 70 white papers. We selected about 40 of them to be presented last August at a workshop in Washington. We also took the opportunity to have some fact-finding sessions with the main scientists in the various areas that are the focus of Department of Energy Office of Science to get a better understanding from the actual users, what their science needs actually are. So one thing that we did as a group was to try and look at the problem more broadly. Obviously, people think of mathematics and numerical libraries, and that's certainly an important part, but mathematics really permeates the entire enterprise of doing simulation, for instance. And we wanted to take a step back and really understand what the actual problems were and not start from the point of view of, you know, I already have this code, how do I make it go faster? But look more at, I'm trying to solve the science problem, here are the questions we're asking. So then what are the right models to use? What are the right discretizations and solvers and so on? So we had that workshop, and then we've been writing for a couple months now, and it's finally done.
So I've read through the report in some detail, and there is obviously a lot of complexity in there, but just for the high-level purposes of this podcast, can you talk about what some of the basic challenges are on the algorithms and applied mathematics level? Where's the real emphasis and attention?
You know, it's hard to say that there's a single emphasis. So obviously, let me roll back a little bit and say, and I alluded to this a little bit, that the real driver for exascale science, that DOE has actual mission needs and these are science questions that need to be answered, and those science applications need more resolution, they need better accuracy, they need better fidelity models, they need to incorporate concepts of uncertainty quantification and optimization for design and decision. So that's what's driving us from above. From below, of course, we all know that there's been this evolving trend that architectures are taking a very different approach. And a challenge, the classic challenges of exascale, the way we've been described, of power, extreme concurrency, limited memory, data locality, and resilience, those are all sort of, you know, providing another driver to us from below of challenges we need to face in order to ask these questions that are being driven by the science. So the way we went about trying to address this, I mean, it's quite a daunting task to say, all right, we're going to write a report on all of applied math and its relevance to scientific computing here. So we had to break it down in some way that made sense. And one of the things we came up with is, you know, most people on the HPC side will be familiar with the concept of a software stack, and there's actually a mathematics stack, or this is the phrase we kind of coined, and that is meant to kind of describe all the roles in which mathematics can play, at least from a simulation perspective. There is the problem formulation of finding out what is the question you're trying to ask, what are the physics involved in that, or what are the scales involved. Then representing that as some kind of model, and that model would include something like a certain quantification or optimization, if that's the case. Typically, that math model, then you can't just put that on a computer. Often it's expressed in terms of, you know, continuous variables or something like that. So you have to discretize that in some way to create a discrete model that you can represent on a digital computer. And then at that point, you have an approximate discrete system that you have to solve in some way, and that's sort of where the solvers traditionally come in. But beyond that, there's issues that transcend this. At the end of the day, you computed something. How do you know what you computed? What are you looking for? So there's a lot of data analysis that goes into that. There's also code correctness and resilience, you know, making sure you've got the right answer. How do you know that you computed the right thing? And we can take a step back even further and say that, well, moving exascalers will be new opportunities for applied math. There will be many more criteria we need to optimize over for the system performance. It's no longer just really going to be about, you know, managing the time budget. We're going to be worried about energy and power consumption, for instance. So there's opportunities there to apply math techniques to the actual running of the system and system operations. So that's the big picture. In somewhat more detail, I can kind of go through those a little bit and do some highlights of some areas that are interesting. So with regard to actually the problem formulation, so right now the bulk of what gets done in scientific computing is at the large scale is often just forward simulation. That's where you start with a problem and you run it forward in time and you compute whatever the result is you're going to compute. Various fields are going to be in different levels of readiness with regard to doing something more sophisticated than that. For some areas or some domains, they're just going to be getting the resources they need to actually do forward simulation properly. In other domains, they're well established, and they've got well-resolved calculations already. They're sufficiently accurate, but what they want to do now is they want to quantify the uncertainty in the solution, or they want to put that in some kind of engineering design loop and try to optimize the solution. So we actually see is one major area or direction that's going to take off more so, and I know we've talked about these things for years, but it's still true, and it's going to be a driver, is more emphasis on embedding a certain quantification into the whole process and also optimization. And in those two areas, an interesting aspect of that is that traditionally we treat these forward simulation codes as black boxes often, where, you know, you need to calculate multiple instances of something, you need to compute an ensemble, and you don't modify the code. Well, you just run it and you generate statistics from it. So you're treating it kind of like a numerical experiment. Moving forward, we actually think that there'll be more opportunities, both in UQ and optimization, for instance, to incorporate that larger problem that you're trying to solve actually into the mathematics and the way the problem is solved, to try and take advantage of things you've already computed, to try and take advantage of similarities in the solution state that can actually accelerate how you get to an answer faster. So optimization and uncertainty are going to be important. But as you kind of work your way down the stack, there's important areas in the mathematical modeling. We're going to be seeing the use of different types of representation. So often for a physical process, you can actually have different models that represent it to different levels of fidelity or at different scales, and trying to find an interplay between those things, or actually leveraging, again, to help solve the problem faster. You know, we're going to have an abundance of riches with respect to CPU cycles or processor cycles. You know, people often say things like computation is free now. Well, it's not exactly true, but you can leverage that in some sense to maybe solve some associated problems that are going to help you converge to a solution faster, so that your overall time to solution is actually reduced. And at the end of the day, that's ultimately what we're after. There's been a lot of talk of moving to higher order methods, for instance. So many of the multi-physics codes that exist today are generally lower order, first or second order accurate, usually loosely coupled. People often write individual modules for each of the physical phenomena, and they glue them together in a particular way. That probably is not going to fly in the future. There's just not enough arithmetic intensity in those low-order algorithms, and we need to keep the processors fed. So there'll be a lot more work that has to go in from the mathematics side of figuring out how do we find high-order discretizations of these that will work in concert when we have these coupled multiphysics, multiscale problems, so that the couplings are now going to have to be done more tightly. And that's really going to be an interesting mathematical challenge to do that, to both design algorithms to do that, be able to prove that they're consistent and stable, and also do it in a way that's efficient.
So you've already hinted at a lot of this, or at least made reference to it, but in 2023 or so, when we have these exascale systems, certainly we've talked very briefly about what the systems themselves might look like, but what will that mathematics stack that you mentioned look like? In an ideal world, what will have happened that will have really brought all of this around by then?
Well, I suspect that one of the things that will change is that we're going to see a lot more end-to-end integration of the mathematics that goes into a mathematics stack. So right now, each of those areas in the mathematics stack tends to be operated on individually, sort of in isolation. And we're realizing now that we need to kind of address the whole problem, and we need to, from the formulation all the way down through the solver and the analysis, we need to understand what is it we're trying to do, so that we can design algorithms and do the math that actually provides us with a simulation capability that actually is optimized sort of for the whole problem and not for each of the individual components. One of the interesting things that will go with that is that a common theme that came up talking to the community and seeing what's going on with mathematics research right now is hierarchies. And we're familiar with this with respect to the hardware because these exascale machines are going to be very hierarchical in nature. You're going to have hierarchies in processors where you've got lots of cores on a chip and lots of chips on a node, and then the nodes connected together through some interconnect. We're expecting to see deep memory hierarchies to deal with the power and latency issues that are associated with that. But the solution, it appears in many areas for algorithms, is actually going to be these hierarchical algorithms, where we use hierarchies with models, where the solvers themselves are posed in a hierarchical way, like you see with the multi-level methods and multi-grid or fast multiple methods. And so that will give us, that's not necessarily the way things are done today. And so we're going to see, I think, mathematicians kind of getting more involved, and you're going to have these tighter teams of domain scientists, computer scientists, and mathematicians working to put these codes together to deal with all of the issues from computer science all the way up to the actual application science. It's actually kind of exciting. It's an interesting space to work in when you've got these multidisciplinary teams.
So you've made reference to several different goals and objectives for exascale computing. Are there any noteworthy efforts going on at research centers or even private companies right now that speak to this future? Where's the real innovation happening? Can you point to a few specific projects?
Well, there's lots of things going on around the world. So, and actually, that's a point to make, is that we're not alone in this. Europe itself has its exascale effort. I believe it's the ESI, the European Exascale Software Initiative. In the U.S., obviously, this affects the DOE labs a lot. The Department of Energy is sort of the driver right now behind the need for exascale. And so when you look at the 7 multipurpose labs that the Department of Energy has, there's lots of programs going on, both funded through either side of the house in some sense, both off the science side and also through the NNSA side of DOE. It's hard to give a specific call out. OSCR, for instance, the program within the Office of Science for Applied Math Research, have had several calls recently. So, for instance, they had the Resilient Extreme Scale Solvers call. They had the Extreme Scale Uncertainty Quantification call. So there are roughly, let's say, 4, on a scale of 4 or 5 projects funded under each of those at various institutions. So, for instance, we have one in the Resilient Extreme Scale Solvers at Livermore, that is looking at the whole problem from discretization through the solvers, trying to look at, take a step back and not just look at the traditional linear, nonlinear solvers part of the problem, but look at the discretization that goes into it, because that actually dictates some of the properties that you see in it, that the solver is going to have to deal with. The universities are also, there's lots of little things going on at universities. There's lots of work going on communication avoiding algorithms. I think of Jim Nemel's work, for instance. It's hard to pick out any one effort because there are lots of little things going on right now, but it's not at the scale yet that it needs to be to really change the mathematics that we're going to need to change them in the way that we need to run these x-scale applications.
Right. Well, Dr. Jeff Hinger, thank you so much for sharing all this detailed information about the applied mathematics conversation for exascale. We look forward also to sharing your report, which again you co-authored with Dr. Jack Dungara, with our readers and listeners this week.
Great. Well, thank you for having me.
Sure. And to all of you listening, thanks again, and we'll be back again tomorrow. Take care.